want to break into the system.
Someone without access to the exam.
I have been doing a little hacking here, as a matter of fact.
Computers and the programs will start thinking, and the people will stop.
I still don't understand why you want to break into the system.
Because, man, somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence. If I got in far enough, I could reconstruct it.
Everyone, welcome to the December 26th edition of the In and Out Show. This is your host, Slip Mode, along with
the pseudo VR. Not really VR today. I'm the pseudo VR.
The pseudo VR.
That's right. So VR cannot be held accountable for anything I say or do today.
All right. We got a lot of good news to bring to you. You know, the holiday season's been a little hectic, so we're bringing the show again late, as we do. But it gets there.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
You know, until I get some real emails that slap me down and say, Slip, get up there fast. And, you know, we're going to do it as we can.
It's going to be at our leisure.
Yeah.
Our convenience, even.
Yeah. So, guess what movie I bought the other day? Or today?
Taboo 2?
No. No. I got Big Trouble in Little Chinatown.
And that's any different because...
No, that movie's awesome. You know, that movie, I believe, was the movie that made, like, that inspired the making of the first Mortal Kombat. There's a guy in there that
looked, oh, yeah,
just like Raiden and, actually, like, Shang Tsung. And
actually, I think that came out about the same time.
It was, like, a year prior.
Was it a year prior?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And
so I remember seeing the movie and going, yeah.
Not a year prior, maybe like 2 years, but yeah. They totally took Raiden from that game, or that movie. There's some other good ones. Daryl, Flight of the Navigator, Last Starfighter, Explorers. Let's see. Got Journey to the Center of the Earth, the 1959 version. I wanted to get 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I haven't gotten that one yet.
Yeah, that's the bargain bin at Walmart, right?
No. I got a gift certificate for being a capitalistic mofo and working.
Oh.
And for my Christmas bonus there. And so I got some stuff off... off our website. I'm not going to get advertised for those bastards.
Good.
And then also, you know, I got, see, I got another Super NES because the one I had tanked because it was black and white for the first 15 minutes and then it would, you know, get a little warm and then turn into color.
Huh.
Yeah.
Needed to warm up. It was probably the video card.
Yeah, you know, I banged it around a few times, you know, because those good old systems, the way you fix these just...
You hit
that fucker a nice knock, you know, and it starts working again, you know. And you got to figure out the right
place
to knock.
Get a bigger hammer.
Yeah, you know, and they're durable too. They can take it.
Yeah, I still have my original Nintendo. That's what, like 15 years old now?
Yeah, 85. No, almost 20 years old.
Yeah, and it works perfectly.
20 years old, actually.
Can I pop a game in that bad boy?
What, dude? You got to sell to me. Actually, this is one girl, and we're gonna try to get her her Nintendo from her. Because mine's, like, jacked, and I got, like, I don't know, like, 40, 50 Nintendo games.
Oh, dude, yeah. I've got, like, 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just play the same ones over and over.
Yeah,
and
my
over.
Ex has a perfectly working Nintendo. Jeez.
Well, actually,
I should have got that out of the deal, at least.
Why it still actually works after 20 years is because I only play it for, like, the first 2 weeks after I move, because I find it, I install it.
You put it away.
And I play with it, and then I get bored.
All right.
Because I've never, like, beat, like, more than 4 levels on any game I have.
Wow.
Except no Othello, I've almost... Oh, that's...
You don't have the patience, or what?
Yeah, I usually...
Is ADD kicking in, or what?
Well, I play for a little while, and then I'm like, it's time to go to bed. Because I only get to, you know, I only sit down to play at, you know, like, 10 a.m. or 10 p.m.
Yeah. All right, well, we got plenty of news, so let's move on to that. All right. Well, I always start that out the same way. Well.
Yeah, no, down to the serious nature of our show.
Yeah.
We are bringing you factual information from somewhere in
from FactsOnHigh.
Yeah.
.com. I'm just kidding. It'll be an interesting website. All right. Actually, well, everyone knows too. It's cool that we've been posting those hyperlinks to all the stories that we read, so you can get the real shindig. Check it out.
Yeah, we just whet your appetite to the real meal.
Yes. Basically, near Earth asteroid reaches the highest score to date on the hazard scale.
Ooh.
Yeah. A recently rediscovered 400-meter near-Earth asteroid at NEA.
Oh, near-Earth orbit?
Asteroid.
Oh, asteroid.
Is predicted to pass near the Earth on April 13, 2029. Flyby distance is uncertain. Basically, it says presently, and they change this every once in a while as they watch it and factor out what's going to happen with it. Right now, it's presently a 1 in 300 chance that it's going to hit us.
Yeah, that's actually really good in astronomical scale.
I guess.
Yeah, when you think about like how we've occurred, you know, like all real astronomical, you know, like statistics of 1 in 300, that's a good shot.
Yeah, they said for the most part they believe it's going to pass us, but let's see. Yeah, the brightness of it says it's roughly 400 meters. And width.
That's bigger than a football field.
Sorry, diameter.
That's bigger than a football field.
Well, yeah, football is 100. And basically, it doesn't. They don't believe it's going to hit us. They believe it's going to fly by twice the distance of the moon, or 480,000 miles.
Ooh, so that should be visually interesting. You should be able to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty big size, too. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wait, yeah, because a meter... Is a meter? No, a meter's only a little bigger than a yard, so that's over. That's like almost 5 football fields.
That's like 3 feet, right?
No, a meter's over 3 feet.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's bigger.
And also, basically, there's another asteroid story here that there was a small asteroid that actually passed between satellites and Earth. Astronomers spotted an asteroid this week. This was back in the week of Christmas. After it had flown past Earth on a course that it took so close to the planet, it was below the orbits of some satellites. The space rock was relatively small, however, and would not have posed any danger had it plunged into the atmosphere. The object named 2004 YD5 basically was about 16 feet wide, and it wasn't going to cause much of a problem. They believe that if it did hit our atmosphere, it actually would just destroy itself on its way through.
That probably would have burnt up and not even hit the ground. Would have come close.
Yeah. It just passed under the orbits of geostationary satellites, which are at 22,300 miles altitude. Basically, the highest man-made objects circling Earth. Most other satellites are a few hundred miles up. So that's pretty way out there. The YD5 is the second closest to pass of an asteroid ever observed by a telescope, according to Asteroid Comet Connection, a website that monitors space rock discoveries. 2004 YD5 was discovered Tuesday, December 21st, by Stan Pope, who volunteers his time to examine images provided by FMO, Fast Moving Object Project, an online program run by the University of Arizona Space Watch Project, which is where we're at in Arizona. After the initial detection, other observers noted the object's position during the day, and its path was then calculated back. So, yes. Yeah, that passed through, and we didn't even notice it. We saw it on the way out, which has happened before.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, probably something that will actually be a danger to us. We probably won't even notice until, you know, it hits us.
Like a big Ford Pinto.
Yeah.
Flying through the sky.
Yeah, we need to get like a, was that a Trabant? Trabant? It's one of those big catapults. They just start throwing stuff. See if we can get into orbit.
Hmm.
You know those, you know the...
Yeah, see, they throw, I've seen one throw like 2-3 miles or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Pretty amazing.
They have a lot of this stuff on the Discovery Channel. And moving more along in our kind of astrological news here, the Mars rover basically has this, they call it the mystery car wash. And what it is that their solar panels on there are getting cleaned somehow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some little animal licking them clean.
Yeah. Nerf herder.
Photovoltaic cells are tasty.
Yeah. It's Visine. No, NASA's Mars rover Opportunity seems to have stumbled upon a new akin to a car wash that has left its solar panels much cleaner than those of its twin rover, Spirit. The Martian car wash would account for a series of unexpected boosts in electrical power produced by Opportunity solar panels. Currently, it's capable of producing 900 watts, but basically it dropped down to about 500 watts and has moved itself back up to 900 watts again, watt hours, that is. Whatever the process has taken place, the Opportunity, while Opportunity was parked during the Martian night, on at least four occasions over a six-month period, the rover's power output increased by up to 5% overnight. At the time, the team speculated that wind may have swept the dust off the panels or frost may have caused it to clump, exposing more of the panels. Now an inspection of the rover's surface using its own camera has confirmed that dust has been removed from the vehicle. Erickson is that, let's see, find him in the article here. He is Jim Erickson, NASA's propulsion jet laboratory research. He's the leader over there. Estimates that the cleaning amounts for about 15% of the difference between Spirit's and Opportunity's power output. Most of the remaining disparity is due to the difference in sunshine in their two locations. But the mystery of why Opportunity has been cleaned remains. The answer might lie in the nature of the two rovers' missions. Spirit has been prospecting an area called the Columbian Hills, while Opportunity has been exploring the wall of Endurance Crater. While climbing, Opportunity spent a lot of time with its solar panels tilted, which could have caused any dust to tumble off, and the researchers suspected the shape of the crater may encourage the dust of devils, or the development of dust devils, or other wind patterns that could help scrub the panels.
Dust devils don't normally clean things, they actually make them dirtier.
Well, yeah, so... I don't know if this is a speculation by the author here.
I think so, because... It, you know, like, other than a dust devil, the more plausible theory is a little, like, Martian kid came along and went, who has a little bit of OCD, and went, ooh, it needs to be cleaned.
No, there could be, like, if you're in a crater like that, maybe there's, like, a wind channel that's flowing through there. If the crater does provide a natural wind-driven car wash opportunity days, as a clean machine could be at an end, on December 12th, it drove out of the crater to explore the terrain beyond. If in 3 or 4 months Opportunity is still operating and hasn't had another power boost, that would suggest a crater was the key.
And then they need to drive back and clean it off again.
Yeah. Just drive everything over there.
Yeah, just drive it through the crater. Yo, rover wash.
Yeah, rover wash over. Operation crater clean. Let's see. Okay, and then this I found to be very interesting, and it's going to move further on into the future into probably your car. Yahoo Maps offer live U.S. traffic conditions. Yahoo Inc. is set to offer an online service that lets users view live U.S. local traffic conditions on custom-created maps, the first site to ever do so nationally, the company said late on Wednesday, back in... late December. And a milestone for the internet-based traffic services, Yahoo has beefed up its existing mapping services to allow customers to plot a route from one local destination to another and overlay traffic data such as road speeds and potential delays. The new service can be found at http://maps.yahoo.com. While local radio, television, and weather sites have offered traffic tracking for years, many of the maps and features are primitive. No national site exists that offers dynamically generated traffic maps, Yahoo executive said. Certainly the distribution of the content on Yahoo site is just a starting point, Paul Levine, general manager of Yahoo's local services unit, said in an interview. Eventually users away from computers may be able to receive traffic alerts via email or on phones with links to live maps. He declined to say whether or when a version of the service might be offered on mobile devices such as phones, wireless, handheld computers, or car location systems. The service is currently only available for viewing U.S. road conditions. By contrast, Yahoo's dynamic maps draw on real traffic information from metropolitan transportation departments and private providers, including embedded road sensors, traffic cameras, police scanners, and traffic helicopters. Copters. Yahoo declined to identify the exact sources of its traffic data. The site boasts traffic accident reports and road construction information from more than 7 metropolitan areas, in effect covering regions where 3/4 of the U.S. population lives. Real-time driving data will be available in more than the 20 top metropolitan markets. The new service generates regional maps and includes a user's starting point and destination. Roadways are colored green, yellow, and red to highlight the normal movement of traffic. Minor delays and severe road congestion. I'm kind of curious if they'll put the terror alert levels over there in certain areas. And, as a user can hover over and stretch a road to view details of impediments, they can also drill down on hazards to see further details. Yahoo's existing map service allows...
Wow, that could be really good. You can zoom over to the 7-Eleven and see who's shooting somebody.
Yeah, and, like, you know, get the dead bodies and throw them on, like, Rotten.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Users to type in only single addresses, then zoom in and out of the results of local icons displaying convenient entertainment, shopping, and services will be served up at the user's request.
Ooh,
now, that's the reason
yeah,
why the site
it.
Was made right there. And it's at the end of the article.
And you could view, you can watch the drive-in movie theater from your own desktop.
Yeah, desktop. Yeah.
Zoom into it.
So, pedophilia, people will just zoom in on schools and... No, that's off the topic. But no, seriously, like, that's really why it was made, was for the...
yeah, the entertainment.
Entertainment advertisement there. So many damn places to advertise. I mean, heck, how do you know you're really getting your advertising money? I'd like to have less places to advertise, you know, so you can focus where you're advertising.
Yeah.
Instead of having it everywhere. Then you don't know where the hell you really should spend your money.
Well, the normal, like, advertisement heuristic is when you're absolutely sick and tired of hearing it and can't... You're not going. You know, you
McDonald's.
Don't.
McDonald's. Like,
you
I'm
don't
sick
want to
of seeing McDonald's.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to it anymore. Is that the point in time where your focus market just heard it for the first time?
I think that happened to Kmart. That's why they're dying.
No,
it's
actually,
been around forever. This is going to happen to Walmart.
No, Walmart is actually what killed Kmart.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's just pure and simple there.
Yeah, but you know, when you go to a Kmart now, at least they could have it. So we're like, you know, the local drug dealer off the street or some old dying lady isn't, like, working your register, you know? Like, it's just so ghetto.
Yeah, but the thing is that they can only pay, like, $5 an hour. Or is it whatever minimum wage is? So that's what they get.
I don't know. Pizza stores have less products than they pay people, I don't know, $6-$7 an hour. Maybe
yeah,
I'm
but
wrong. But I don't
they
know.
They make a lot of money because, you know, what it costs to make a pizza is nothing. They sell it for $10-$15.
Yeah. I don't think I'm doing the best comparison. I don't know. They should really... clean up their stores a little bit there.
Well, they're going bankrupt. It's too late now.
Yeah. Okay, well, more information about Yahoo, actually. Basically, in this new digital world of online services and whatnot, it's very important, or maybe not so important, but you might want to consider keeping your passwords in a place to where if you die, your next of kin can get them.
Oh, wow. What a thought, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, huh?
You have to will your passwords.
Yeah, will your passwords, John. You
actually,
get my email
I
password.
I thought about that a while back. I was like, wow, if I die, who's going to take over all my email accounts?
Yeah.
All these people are going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they won't know that I died. They just think that I, like... You know, I'm ignoring them from now on.
They should have an auto message. Like, if you don't answer for 3 months, it just starts saying, like, I'm probably dead. Something like that. I don't know. The family of Marine killed in Iraq is pleading with internet giant Yahoo for access to his email account, which the company says is off limits under its privacy policy. Lance Corporal Justin M. Ellsworth, 20, was killed by a roadside bomb on November 13th during a foot patrol in Al Anbar province. The family wants a complete email file that Justin maintained, including notes to and from others. I want to be able to remember him in his words. I know he thought he was doing what he needed to do. I want to have that for the future, said John Ellsworth, Justin's father. It's the last thing I have of my son. And basically, Yahoo says, while we sympathize with any grieving family, Yahoo accounts and any contents therein are non-transferable, even after death. Said Karen Moham. Now, I don't know. I mean, there could be some major legal things in there saying we can't give that out, you know?
We know it. And yeah, all right, this is the instance where yeah, it's a grieving family. But
he might have something in there that's against his family.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in there that they probably they don't need to see. If they weren't privy to it, they don't need to see it.
Yeah, yeah. In all honesty, I kind of back Yahoo up on that, because I would have to say that I may have things in there that I don't want my family to know.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they weren't privy to them in life, they shouldn't be privy to them in death.
So.
You know, yeah, that's really nice, but the less you know about somebody after they die, the more you like them.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they had a lot to offer, though, you know?
Yeah. Unless he was just absolutely prolific, thoughtful writer, then, yeah, maybe we're missing out on, you know, next, you know, like, bestseller book that's been written after.
Bestseller book from emails?
Yeah. Could happen. With a lot of editing.
Actually, I've seen a book based on, like, emails. It's really weird. And I was like, man, somebody, like, took these emails. I'm like, man, I'm making money off it. Okay. All right. Well, we've got lots of cover, so we're just scooting along here. I read this article has to do with Microsoft might charge for some security software that they're going to start at first give out.
Mm.
And, well, I'll bring up that comment
evil
at the end. What else can I talk about? Yeah. Microsoft Corp disclosed plans Thursday, late December, to offer frustrated users of its Windows software new tools within 30 days to remove spyware programs secretly running on computers. But it might cost extra in coming months. In a shift from the past practice, the world's largest software manufacturer says it may charge consumers for future versions of the new protective technology, which Microsoft acquired by buying a small New York firm, software firm. Terms of the sale of the giant software company Software Incorporated weren't disclosed. Microsoft's tool expected to be available within 30 days. Initially, it will be free, but the company isn't ruling out charging for future versions. We're going to be working through the issue of pricing and licensing, Nash said. We'll come up with a plan and roll that out. Some experts blame Microsoft for Windows vulnerabilities that help spread spyware. Microsoft and some others, meanwhile, said the blame should be directed instead at spyware manufacturers. Well, you can put the blame on both. It's definitely blame the spyware manufacturers, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, blame the company that, you know, enables it to continually happen.
Yeah, that allows them to be spyware. Yeah. If they actually produced a good, solid, secure product.
Yeah, because I was reading something, and I forget if it was a comment to that story or what I read, that there was somebody that said, you know, at first Microsoft tells us we need Internet Explorer, bundles it so deep into the operating system that if you remove it, it causes the operating system to be so buggy, and then now it brings in all the spyware, then they're going to charge us to fix it, you know?
It's just, yeah.
Jeez, man, you just don't win in that deal. So, yeah, now it's just so deeply embedded, it just cause those. Just remove it, dude. Just get rid of IE and just move to Firefox, you know, or whatever your favorite browser is.
Since I've changed to Firefox, it's great.
Yeah, you know, some things can still go through Firefox and stuff like that, but far less in the ActiveX controls and all that crap. Some people may like it, but just there's some stuff in there that's just really nasty, and you just don't really need it for your typical browsing needs. So. Especially their non-compliance standards and kind of creating their own standard and making people code for IE only, and it screws up coding for the real standard. And
I've only come across one instance where I needed to be on an online meeting, and it wouldn't it wasn't compatible with Firefox.
Oh, that's because it was Microsoft NetMeeting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's because it's Microsoft NetMeeting.
Yeah.
So.
And so I was really ticked off, and because I couldn't go to the meeting. And I got scolded for it. But that's okay.
Hmm.
I told them I will not install these other products again.
What other products?
Oh, well, actually, I can't get Microsoft... I can't get Internet Explorer to work on my machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get Netscape to work on my machine. Because there's something weird that whenever I try to, you know, launch them, my computer wants me to go and log on to... Oh, God, what is that?
Who's your daddy.com?
No, it's actually like Dell.
Hmm.
Or what's the company that has the cow box?
Yours is a Compaq, right? Oh, it's a Gateway. Yours is
Gateway.com or Gateway.net. And it tells me to, you know, to go log on that, and then there's a little button that says finish, and I hit it, and then it goes away.
Hmm.
And nothing happens.
Don't buy a gateway.
It's very strange. Well, that's the thing, is when I bought it, you know, that didn't happen. Worked fine. It's only in the last, like, 2 years, and the thing's, like, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah. All right. And also, speaking of Internet Explorer vulnerabilities and whatnot, there's a new vulnerability for Internet Explorer 6, and it affects Windows XP Service Pack 1 and 2 machines, and I believe Windows 2000 machines as well. It's a edit ActiveX control cross-site scripting vulnerability. Basically, its vulnerability is caused due to an error in the DHTML edit ActiveX control when handling the exec script function in certain situations, and once it's exploited, you can execute arbitrary script code. So the best thing to do is to go out and... Is there a patch for it yet? Oh, well, what you can do, too, is to set the security level on high under Tools Internet Options, and that disables ActiveX support until a patch comes out. Maybe there is a patch out. Don't know. Yet. And on Windows 2000 to XP... Oh, no. On Windows XP Service Pack 2, it's possible to disable the vulnerable ActiveX control in Tools Manage add-ons. So that's how to do that. But... those things just keep coming out. Okay.
Yeah, I really think, I was just thinking about the best way to, like, stop all these exploit, you know, people who find exploiters, you know, find exploits in all these programs, is we need to find them women.
Find them women? You know, yeah. But sometimes women are problematic, and they realize that, so they just stick to this.
But see, then they're just sitting here finding problems and making all of our lives problematic.
Well, yeah, you know, but a lot of these people that find the exploits, I mean, their initial job is not to find it, other than, well, it's not just totally to find it. A lot of these people, I wouldn't say people that like tinkering with technology. I think, I mean, a lot of these people are actually paid employees to find, make this crap work, to sell it as a tool.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's an industry. It's those people get, you know, paid. It's some of these people find these things, but they don't exactly, you know, go out and make these spyware programs. Usually, like, these companies are making them and just general nuisance people, and they're trying to make money off it. It's a, you know, it's for money. Okay. The yeah, this is kind of funny, and I'll tell you what I think about it at the end here. Lowe's hardware hacker gets 9 years.
Oh my God.
9 years. And I hate when people say hacking. If you use, like, a lock pick, if you're a lock picker and you use that to get in a safe and you steal some money, they don't say, lock picker gets 9 years for lock picking. You know, it's like, guys stole money, you know? Like,
well, actually, they call him a safe cracker.
Well, they don't even say that in the news, though. They say, like, robbery.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, extortion. You know, these words like that, sort of, I just... They're
not differentiated enough.
They actually
the
don't.
The hacker's not differentiated.
Yeah, even if they use the word for whatever they want to use it, I don't know. They're not using the correct word. Okay. One of three Michigan men who hacked into the national computer systems of Lowe's hardware stores and tried to steal customers' credit card information was sentenced Wednesday, late December, to 9 years in federal prison. Government said it was the longest prison term ever handed down in a computer crime case in the United States. Brian Salcido of Whitmore Lake, Michigan, pleaded guilty in August to conspiracy and other hacking charges. Salcido's sentence, imposed by U.S. District Judge Lacey Thornburg, exceeds that given to the hacker Kevin Mitnick, who spent more than 5.5 years behind bars, according to a Justice Department website that tracks cybercrime prosecutions. I think the massive amount of potential loss that these defendants could have imposed was astounding. I think the massive amount of potential loss,
I think,
that these defendants could have imposed was astounding. So that's what caused us to seek substantial sentence against Mr. Salcido.
So they actually didn't do anything?
Well, I'll wait till I get the article, dude. This is ridiculous. This is all hell. Federal prosecutor Matthew Martin said, two other men are awaiting sentencing in Lowe's case. One of them, Adam Timmons, became one of the first people convicted of war driving in which hackers go around with an antenna searching for vulnerable wireless internet connections. I think that's how they got in. Prosecutors said that the three men tapped into the wireless network of Lowe's store in Southfield, Michigan, used that connection to enter the chain's central computer system in North Wilkesboro, NC, and installed a program to capture credit card information. That's pretty malicious. Lowe's officials said that the men did not obtain any such information.
Oh, my.
They just installed a program. They didn't even get the information, use it, and break it, and he got 9 freaking years.
Wow.
The case was prosecuted in Charlotte because it is home to FBI Cybercrime Task Force. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous. If people get... It's like... what was that movie with Tom Cruise? And they charged everybody for what they were just about to do, and they had these people that predicted the future.
Oh, yeah. That was... False positive.
They had these like see through liquid screens, and it's really cool. You know, but it's these are like psychics or whatever.
He got 9 years for putting a program into Lowell's computer system.
Yeah, a malicious program, no doubt. But 9 years, you know, and like maybe he just did to see if he could do it.
Actually, that's what I was thinking, because probably what happened is he had his laptop because he was a war driver.
Well, he was war driving, yeah.
Yeah, and Lowe was like, oh, dude, look, we could do this. Why don't we show them what could happen?
Let me just see if I can pull it off. You know, you need to, like, I guess that would show intent that they would take some credit card information, but you don't know to what level.
And you don't know if they'll even use it.
And you don't know even if they'll use it. And 9 years is a lot. And I, you know, Kevin...
That's almost a decade.
Yeah, Kevin was,
Murderers get off with less time.
Yeah, you know, and Kevin, yeah, and that's a human life. Kevin supposedly had done all these other things, and he got, you know, it's 5.5 years, you know? That's ridiculous. I mean, I really feel sorry for this guy, because I don't know how old he is. And, you know, I don't feel sorry for him in the sense that, like, you know, like, I'm patting him on the back because he's doing something he probably shouldn't have been doing. I mean, if my company, I'd be pretty pissed off. But, I mean,
well, yeah,
9 years is just a lot of time.
Okay, how long did... Well, if that's the longest... Well, it said in there, that's the longest sentence that's been issued for, you know, cybercrime.
Yeah, computer crime case.
Which didn't do anything... You know, there was no harm
done.
Oh,
yeah, good point.
No harm done.
Good point. The longest handed out so far, and...
No harm done.
And then, yeah, come on, we've talked about worse things on this show that people
like,
have done.
You know, we found, you know, like, there's been people out there that have done, you know, like, lots of credit card fraud, have done major damage to people's computers and taken down, you know,
networks or whatever.
Yeah, all of that, and they get squat.
Yeah,
this guy does nothing, you know, harms nothing. It gets 9 years.
And, you know, then they're going to take down, you know, two of the other guys, too, with whatever.
And they're probably all going to get the same.
Well, probably not. He's probably the big dog, and then they'll give him like 4 years or something. But either way, I mean, that's just...
Well, the other guy was the war driver. He's not even he's not even the brains of the operation.
Well,
he wasn't...
Well, the war driver guy, I mean, who knows who did what exactly, but I guess this guy is the big dog. I don't know. The other guy, I don't know. But, you know, it's just whatever. I mean, it's just all that is just way too much.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't condone what he did. I think it's wrong.
And he should get something.
Yeah.
But
9 years for actually not, you know, not hurting anybody?
Yeah.
Not
the
hurting
Lowe's
anything?
Official said that the men did not obtain any such information. So the program, the whole kit and caboodle that they were installing to get whatever information, could be credit card, could be personal information, could have been any information,
yeah.
So did not obtain any such information.
Wow. That's maybe they were just wondering on how much lumber Lowell sold in a week.
No, I doubt that. But who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been excited about something, being like, hey, it'd be real cool. I could probably pull this off. That'd be cool to do it. And I decided, well, in my head, I figured out that it is possible, and I know how to do it, so I could probably do it. The only thing I would get that I'm missing is the excitement of me actually doing it. So I'm like, just to balance out the risk, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I know I can do it. But, you know, maybe that's what they're doing. But even if they got the credit cards, then they should be charged for whatever credit cards that they did use and the amounts that they did use. But if they didn't, they didn't get the information, then they,
yeah, well, like, what about Lowell's? Why wasn't their network encrypted? Why wasn't it protected?
Oh yeah, well that's, yeah, well there's a lot of, yeah, Wi-Fi that's wide open.
Yeah, like if I had a multi-million dollar business and had a wireless network like that, and I didn't have it properly protected, I would be like, you know what, thanks guys for showing me that I need to do that.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not going to press charges because you just showed me how big of an idiot I am.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I don't know, call me a sucker, but I honestly try to take the forgiving general approach at first with someone. Now, if they do it a second time, then that's it.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I try to work things out the first time, so. Some people are, you know, say, hey, you need to be that way so they don't do it any of the time. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
But see, that logic right there is flawed because, yeah, there is the death penalty for killing people. But you know what? People still kill people.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Sometimes. I don't know, this is a little more off subject than this story, but some people need a little help, and if somebody just takes the time just to give them a little bit of help. This really doesn't totally focus on the story whatsoever, but if you give somebody a little bit of help, sometimes it helps them get beyond some things and makes them a way better person than they were before, and you may not have to worry about some of the things down the line that if people keep pushing them around, what they might turn into, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right, well. There's an actual study that was done, and I've read of studies before. I guess this is the largest one on how good the Linux kernel code was, as far as how many bugs per line kind of thing going on.
Oh yeah, we pull those out every once in a while.
Yeah, the way the article wrote it says Linux advocates have long insisted that open source development results in better and more secure software. Now they have statistics to back up their claims. I've read of some statistics before, but this one's a pretty large one. According to a four-year analysis of the 5.7 million lines of Linux source code conducted by five Stanford University computer science researchers, the Linux kernel programming code is better and more secure than the programming code of most proprietary software. The report, set to be released on Tuesday, which is already released now, states that the 2.6 Linux kernel production kernel shipped with the software from Red Hat, Novell, and other major Linux software vendors contains 985 bugs in 5.7 million lines of code.
Wait, how many bugs?
985.
Wow. That's less than 0.11%.
Yeah. Let's see. Well below the industry average of commercial enterprise software, Windows XP, by comparison, contains 40 million lines of code with new bugs found on a frequent basis. Actually, get some stats here a little bit further in the article. Commercial software typically has 20 to 30 bugs every 1,000 lines of code.
Wow.
According to Carnegie Mellon University Scilab's Sustainable Computing Consortium, this would be the equivalent to 114,000 to 171,000 bugs in 5.7 million lines of code.
Wow.
The study identified 0.17 bugs per 1,000 lines of code in the Linux kernel. Of the 985 bugs identified, 627 were critical parts of the kernel. Another 569 could cause a system crash. 100 were security holes, and 33 of the bugs could result in less than optimal system performance. Seth Halem, CEO of Coverity, a provider of source code analysis, noted that the majority of the bugs documented in the study have already been fixed by members of the open source development community. Our findings show that Linux contains an extremely low defect rate and is evidence of a strong security of Linux. Many security holes in software are the result of software bugs that can be eliminated with good programming processes. The Linux source code analysis project started in 2000 at the Stanford University Computer Science Research Center as part of a large research initiative to improve core software engineering processes in the software industry. The initiative now continues at Coverity, a software engineering startup that now employs the five researchers who conducted the study. Coverity said it intends to start providing Linux bug analysis reports on a regular basis and will make a summary of the results freely available to the Linux development community. This is a benefit to the Linux development community, and we appreciate Coverity's efforts to help us improve the security and stability of Linux, said Andrew Morton, lead Linux kernel maintainer. Morton said developers have already addressed the top priority bugs uncovered in the study. So that's great. Also, the study produced some answers of some of the problems that were out there, and those are being worked on. So it just gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, folks.
Wow. That's amazing.
And more in the Linux corner here. The total cost of ownership study, Linux wins again, basically it says here. German study claims Linux lowers total cost of ownership, TCO. An updated Linux versus Windows TCO study has found that a 250-seat company can end up saving 36% if it were to equip its users with the open-source operating system and applications that run on it. The study by Melbourne-based open-source firm CyberSource found that even if use of the commercial Linux distribution such as Red Hat Enterprise Linux would result in 27% lower costs. The study was first issued in April 2002. We have now updated this report to accommodate the changes in both platforms. We have also extended the model to increase its relevance and accuracy, said Hans Maris, Chief Executive Officer of CyberSource. The study covers the average requirements over a period of 3 years. Samaris said the time frame we chose because of the cost and upgrading had to be borne repeatedly in the case of Windows. He said, given the fact that the company deals in open source products, four aspects have been favored to tip the scales towards Microsoft. The model was not modified to reflect research by the Robert Francis Group, which showed the Linux needed 82% fewer staff resources. The cost of malware, viruses, spyware, worms, keyloggers, adware were not taken into account. Smirid said every research point found had suggested that this cost was essentially a predominantly a Windows platform cost, resulting in billions lost by businesses every year. Costs which arose when systems need to be preemptively rebooted or crash, resulting in unscheduled downtime, were not taken into account. All research indicates that Linux rarely, if ever, suffers such problems, and open source platforms on the whole are extremely robust. Finally, because Microsoft has claimed that introducing Linux in the environment will lead to increasing relevance on external consultants, we have tripled the amount budgeted for such requirements on the Linux models, he said. The costing models, including expenses such as workstation servers, networking, IT staff consultant fees, internet service fees, charges, file, mail, and print servers, e-commerce servers, SQL, network infrastructure servers, internet and intranet servers, line of business software, desktop productivity applications, external training printers, as well as malicious system costs, malicious miscellaneous system costs. So, yeah, it says it's cheaper, and you do get to take into effect some of those things, some of the points that were brought in. Now, outside consulting, sure, there's more NCSEs, and I've seen some pretty stupid ones out there, too. But also, Linux is on the rise, and a lot of people are more interested in it, and they're teaching it a lot more in schools as a default. So that finding support is actually, you know, growing. It's a lot easier to find people to support those types of things. All right. Still with us there, VR? All right. Yeah. Those things I like, I don't know if other people like them. It's just those are the kinds of things I deal with. Okay, well, the PlayStation Portable.
Ooh.
Rocks. I like the graphics, I like the way it looks, but...
That's that little thing, isn't it?
Not the one with the two screens, that's the DS.
Oh, okay.
The Nintendo DS. That pissed me off, because when I played the Metroid, I'm a big Nintendo fan, but when I was playing Metroid on the DS, there's no analog controller, you know, where you push it, it understands the degree you're pushing forward.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if you're a character, it's slowly walking to, like, running, depending on how hard you push it.
Yeah.
Well, there's up, down, left, right,
well,
you know, a few
buttons. Proportional. Steering.
Well, yeah, but yeah, it's called analog.
Okay.
But yeah, and then the some buttons on it, up, down, left, right. But when you're playing the game, it's a 3D game, the Metroid game. And when you want to look around, you have to use your puck, your little pen thing.
Yeah.
And you put it on the screen and move it around, kind of like a mouse pointer.
Oh yeah.
So it gets in the way of your screen.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that at all, but.
And then you're also taking a hand away from your fire and your other, you know, other controls.
Well, the fire is tapping on the enemy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Wacky.
But the I like the PlayStation Portal, but it says there's quite a few defects. So some of the defects are dead pixels, many three per screen with the three per screen with the problem. Broken UMD drives. UMD drives is the actual disk. It's their it's universal. It's a standard that I have. I forget what the UMD breaks down to. It's a little CD you put in the back. It's like a mini DVD. Analog nubs not working. And then also there's also another problem where if you take the PlayStation Portal and you're holding your hand and just lightly twist as you would normally hold it, but you lightly twist, the disc like exits the
It's the twist eject system.
Yeah, so
it's the hit your friend in the back of the head while you're playing in class system.
Yeah, you know, if you want to change your game really fast, you just twist and boom, there you get. So
I could see some, you know, kids doing that and like twisting and hitting each other in the head and taking out an eye. It'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know if they're out yet. I just think these are some people got their hands on them.
Well, all right, so
they're out in Japan, I believe. I think.
Oh, then I can so see, like, Japanese, you know, school kids doing that.
Oh, God. Okay. Now, this is something I mentioned. I like how I just cut straight through and just get through the news.
Yeah, you, like, don't do these great transitions. It's just, oh, all right.
All right, now we're going to move right the hell on.
I have no idea what we're doing next.
Yeah, viewers over there like, what?
Oh, well, we're done with that one. Next one.
Chicks? Okay, MPAA to serve lawsuits on BitTorrent servers. Now, this is something I mentioned in a previous show, which actually Rusty, my buddy, brought this to my attention. That you know, when you want a file, you have to serve a file at the same time. It's just how this communal sharing system goes with BitTorrents. Well, there's a big system, you know, servers out there keep track of who's sharing what.
Ooh.
So I mean, there's a big, you know, gaping area to go in and figure out who's sharing what, and then you can see, go after people if you wanted. The motion picture, and this is funny. How would you abbreviate the word association?
It's usually, let's see, ASS.
Yeah, I know, it's funny, because I'm reading the article. The Motion Picture Ass of America.
Yeah, that's usually what it is.
I think they abbreviated that just so they could put it in the article like that.
No, that's the standard way.
Motion picture ass of America.
Yeah, it is.
Well, today launched a legal attack on, this is back in late December, mid-December, BitTorrent users in a bid to prevent ripped DVDs being shared across the network. The lawsuit, which will target BitTorrent server operators rather than downloaders, indicating that this is less an assault on the technology and more on the people misusing it. So, okay. And then in this latter component that the MPAA is targeting, websites encourage BitTorrent discrimination or dissemination of movie material for which they do not have distributed rights will be on the receiving end of lawsuits. The organization is expected to say Cohen himself is not to be believed in the MPAA sites. Cohen, let's see. Brian Cohen, who's the guy who developed, okay, BitTorrent. The movie marks the latest step in escalating of the action the MPAA is taking against illegal file shares. So beware out there. That's a big bottle. That's a problem right there for people that are serving up BitTorrents. That keeps a big, easy, wide open area to see who's sharing what.
Yeah, it's like Big Brother again.
Yeah. Okay, and then also Apple fights Real Networks hacker tactics is what they say. Basically, Real Networks found a way to sell files that could play on an iTunes player. And Apple updated its firmware on its iTunes recently to not allow those files to be played. Apple Computers quietly updated its iPod software so that no songs purchased from Real Networks Online Music Store will no longer play on some of the Mac makers' popular MP3 players. The move could render tunes purchased from many iPod owners unplayable in their music players. For the last 4 months, Real Networks has marketed its music store as the only Apple rival compatible with the iPod, following the company's new discovery of a way to let its customers play their downloaded tunes on Apple's MP3 players. Apple criticized Real Network's workaround dubbed Harmony as tactics of a hacker and warned in July that Real Network's purchased songs would likely cease to work with the current and future iPods. Apple offered no further statement, but confirmed that the software released with its iPod Photo will not play music purchased on Real Network's music store. So, I don't know.
Just pay them a royalty.
Yeah.
That's all they have to do. Because Apple's just doing that to make money. But you go, okay.
It makes more money than all their other stuff.
Yeah.
It's their cash cow right now, so they're trying to protect it.
Yeah, so why are they, you know, essentially excluding themselves again?
Oh, because they've always done that. And I think it's out of stubbornness. They really should open things up.
Well, they should, you know, allow more people to be, you know, into their architecture, as long as they play within the lines. There you go. Everybody makes more money. They get more market share, and they actually turn a profit again.
Yeah, you know, if you're an artist or whatever, and you're making this music as a record companies or whatever, they're going to make a lot of money no matter where they send it all out. The more places that they send it, the better.
Yeah.
But if you are, you know, because it's for the one product, like that CD, and you send it all these places. But if you're a player or a device, if yours just plays everything, then actually you now are in competition with all the other players. But if yours just plays one thing that everybody wants, then you'll make more money. So that's working good for them now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it hasn't worked so well for them in the past when it comes to Apple computers, because people said, you know, I'll just go buy a PC because I can open myself up. So right now it's working for them now. I don't know how long it's going to work for them, but it's very popular. And we'll see how that goes. I think Macintosh, if they, you know, allowed more people to develop hardware for it and stuff like that, maybe like move their operating system to, you know, Windows, that'd be great. But then that'd take away from their hardware. I don't know.
Yeah, well, then you lose a lot of the great things about, you know, Apple's, is that they are very stable, they're very reliable.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how that goes. Okay, this is a small article here about people that get banned from using the internet as part of a sentence.
Ooh.
And basically, there was a guy here that says, I proved that I violated my ban almost every day for a year. The problem was that, as Garnick puts it, and this is the guy that was banned from using the internet, is that most judges aren't as tech-savvy, neither are probation officers, apparently. One time, Lamprecht recalls, my probation officer, even did a surprise check, came to my apartment and inspected my computer for a telephone, cable, or modem. He didn't find one. I was online, but I had broadband. So basically, he had wireless. I think he has wireless. When people say broadband, I don't know if he's talking about broadband as far as like cable internet, or
I think broadband is wireless.
Actually, broadband is meant to be like, I don't know, wireless and cable and DSL and the power lines, or you know, wherever it brings in. It's just a generic term of like not using a modem anymore.
Yeah.
Like a typical telephone modem. But basically in here it says that, you know, I predict that judges will begin to see the computer that as something other than a novelty, but as an everyday apparatus like a telephone, and they'll see a lot of fewer computer use restrictions. I don't know. I mean, you can restrict anything you want. Now, if the judge actually thinks it's going to work, he may be kidding himself, or he may just say like, well, it's just another thing that we'll put on him, that, you know, if we find anything out, we can just tag him on that.
Yeah,
know?
That's pretty much what that is.
So I don't see that going away. They're going to put that on there if they feel like it. They may not really believe that it can be totally enforced, but hey.
Yeah,
more
like
they can make
you use
the guys
an ATM. Oops, you just, you know, kind of got on the internet.
Well, yeah, I don't know by that, what, you know, but yeah. There's a guy in there that I was actually banned from chat rooms for 10 years, a pedophile.
Let's see, that makes sense.
But now, what about if you go on, like, MySpace? Well, they're all 18 and older. I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, the legal system is pretty screwy.
Yeah.
They like to be very broad and with broad strokes.
Yeah, they just want to be able to do... If they want to have the option, they would want to be able to have that option.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, makes sense or not.
Yeah, and they don't want to be specific about it either. It's just, oh, yeah, oh, he did crime with the computer, but can't use the internet anymore.
9 years.
Yeah. 2 9 years in jail, too.
Well, Oracle has finally bought out PeopleSoft, and basically they accept the purchase offer of about $10.3 billion. And ended in a long and bitter hostile takeover battle. Oracle's offer to buy... It's like buying Nabisco, that older one. Oracle's offer to buy PeopleSoft $26.50 per share was approved by both boards of directors. Oracle said in a statement, Oracle's previous offer was $24 a share. The deal should close by early January. So basically, Oracle now owns PeopleSoft. Well, not yet, but soon.
Yeah.
And... to wrap things up, just another kicker article right here. You just don't know how these things happen in the world today. Police are given computer spy powers.
What?
Yeah, this is for Australia, I believe. Federal and state police now have... Maybe I'm wrong. Where is that? I want to know this before I do this. Australia. Federal and state police now have the power to use computer spyware... to gather evidence in a broad range of investigations after legal changes last week. The Surveillance Devices Act allows police to obtain a warrant to use software surveillance technologies, including systems that track and log keystrokes on a computer keyboard. The law applies to the Australian Federal Police and to state police investigating Commonwealth offences. Critics have called the law rushed and imbalanced.
Yeah.
I'd say. Saying police will be able to secretly install software to monitor email, online chats, word processor, and spreadsheets, entries, and even bank personal identification numbers and passwords. Come on. Aaron Graham, executive director of Watchdog Electronic Frontiers Australia, said the law went too far in allowing police surveillance. The legislation has been passed without the proper scrutiny of the ALP. Is too afraid to stick their guns and oppose it. I don't know who the ALP is. She said, Ms. Graham also believed that the act could override parts of the Telecommunications Interception Act, which tightly regulated telecommunications monitoring. A spokesperson of the Federal Attorney General, Philip Rudick, denied this, saying the act specifically said it should not be read to override the Telecommunications Interception Act.
It should not be read to, but is there anything in it to deter it being read that way?
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. The spokesperson said there were protections in this legislation, including reporting into Parliament and allowing reviews of by the Ombudsman.
Ombudsman.
In addition to redefining the kinds of surveillance devices that can be used, the Surveillance Devices Act allows surveillance for offenses far less serious than those allowed under the Telecommunications Interception Act. Warrants to intercept telecommunications can be obtained to investigate offenses carrying a maximum jail term of 7 years or more. However, Surveillance Devices Act warrants can be obtained for offenses carrying a maximum sentence of 3 years. Ms. Graham said the 3-year benchmark was too low, and when acting too far in setting out circumstances in which police could use surveillance devices. A warrant could be obtained under the act if an officer had reasonable grounds to suspect an officer or an offender had been or might be committed on the on a surveillance device was necessary to obtain evidence. They can also be obtained in child recovery cases. The act also has secrecy provisions, making it an offense to publish information on an application for or the existing of a surveillance warrant. The government said the act would consolidate and modernize the law. Mr. Rudick said the power of Commonwealth law enforcement use surveillance devices lagged behind the technology made possible and what was permitted in other jurisdictions. If you're going to yawn, monkey, you should pull the mic away.
Sorry.
Some people like this stuff, though. However,
this is really... It's really interesting, but I'm really tired.
All right.
What caught my attention was, in what other jurisdiction is this sort of thing okay?
Other than what? What do you mean?
Well, they just said that, that the Commonwealth crime protection, is falling behind lacked in technology.
Like, we're falling behind, so let's just leap right the hell ahead.
Yeah, and where is that sort of, they justified it in that we don't have the capabilities of other jurisdictions. But I don't know of any other jurisdictions in the free world that that's okay.
Yeah, honesty, I don't know. It's great to learn computer security. That's one of the reasons I went into it. Because you get a good handle on, securing your computer so you don't get people like the police or, just any damn human being trying to get into your system. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting into your head and your wallet and your day planner and your diary all at once.
Yeah. All right. Well, all these links are going to be posted, these stories on the show as it gets put up. And please put your seats back and your free tables and upright. But no, I'm joking.
We're coming in for a bumpy landing.
Yeah. So, definitely post some messages on the forums. Shoot an email out. We'll be on the DDP Hack Radio here pretty soon. They just got their systems up and ready over there at binrev.com. So you'll hear episodes of In the Now over there streaming. And I think that's it for the show.
Cool.
Okay.
I think we're done.
All right. Well, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks.
Later.
See you then.